Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode. So this week's episode is probably a little unusual. Before you turn off, because we're talking to a radiologist, I want you to know it's going to be a good episode. I'm joined by Dr. Aaron Elliott and Dr. Heidi Kohlfarber, better known as Heidi B. Kinky, and we're going to be talking about Making Radiology Fun Again, 256 Shades of Dental Radiology. We're going to talk about three things. Number one, who is Heidi Kohlfarber, how she became a radiologist. Number two, we're going to talk about what does a radiologist do in the dental world, from academics to private practice. And then most importantly, we're going to talk about the liabilities, the scope of care, and the value of 3D imaging in your dental practice. So stick around for this week's episode.
Welcome to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal, where our goal is to change the way you practice dentistry by helping you achieve clinical, financial, and personal balance. Now, here's your host, T-Bone.
All right, welcome back another week for our episode. I am surrounded by two lovely ladies, and the other lady just left.
I was just going to say, there's no way you'd give me a compliment.
So I am here with, of course, our good friend and friend of the show, Dr. Aaron Elliott. Aaron, how are you doing?
I'm excellent.
How's Boise treating you?
It's beautiful.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
The whole reason I put up with the other 9 months is for these next three months.
At Boise.
Yep. Yeah. Or 8 hours north.
And then our main guest for today is Dr. Heidi Bridget Zinke Kohlfarber. Is that correct?
Heidi Kohlfarber's good.
No. I like the Bridget Zinke Kohlfarber. That's what you'll be from now on for me.
I knew I should never have told him the story.
So Heidi is a dental radiologist who is making dental radiology fun again.
Can't have more fun than this.
I mean, we were sitting here at breakfast, and you should have seen
She's truly having a lot of
excitement.
Fun. Yeah.
All right, before we get started and talk about radiology, because I believe radiology is an area where it's more important today than ever before. Okay, so in all seriousness, so you know, there's one thing to be 2D intraoral X-rays, to be a Panorex, and all of those things, but now we're seeing a infiltration and prevalence of 3D imaging throughout dentistry. And as we move into that, there's some questions about legalities, liabilities, readings, reviewing. I like to use the word review versus read, and things along those lines. And that's really what I want to focus on today. Is mainly focused in that world. But before we get started, I want to hear about your first credit card.
You can bring that one up.
Of course, right off the bat. I'm going to humanize you for the audience. Yeah. Because it's a radiologist. So they're like, oh, I can already, my stats are going to go down when I say radiologist.
What? I would think it would go sky high. That's radiology.
It's not.
No, this is going to be, we were talking about essentially like my name getting misspelled. It's two L's, two T's. And then Heidi told a story about her first credit card. So
let's hear it, Heidi.
So my maiden name is Zinke.
Spell it for us.
Z-I-N-K-E.
Z-I-N-K-E.
And, you know, of course, you know, Bridget being my middle name. So when I was 16, my first debit card came.
They had debit cards that far back?
They did, okay. Right? Yeah. Well, I'm not that old.
You guys are the same age.
That's what I'm saying. Not long ago.
Yeah.
So my debit card came, and it says, Heidi B. Kinky. So,
nice.
There you go.
I hope you have that credit card.
I probably do somewhere. I probably beg to keep it.
You know what I would do? Every time, if I were a female, every time I would go to a bar and I'd have some greasy guy like me come up to you and talk to you and ask you what you're doing, I would pull out the credit card and say, hey, you want a piece of this? Right? Just this is what you're getting into. It's Heidi B. Kinky.
Heidi B. Kinky, right there.
And thank God you're not a female.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I'd be the ugliest female. I always say this. I'd be the ugliest female known to man.
There's a lot of maintenance that goes into it. You make fun of how much I have to pack.
Listen, let me tell you. I wouldn't shave.
Yeah.
I don't get my hair cut and all these things. All right. So all seriousness, let's kind of get to, and Dave, you'll keep me up to date on the timings?
I will.
Okay. Let's kind of get to our conversation. So briefly, why, again, to me it's so foreign and so odd, and I don't want you to take offense to
we've
known each other for a long time, so
why
and how does one become a dental radiologist? More about the why, not the how.
I would like to know a little bit more about you. All I know right now is that she was valedictorian of her high school in California.
That's so way far back.
That was before the debit card.
Where'd you go to undergrad? In dental school.
I went to Pacific Union College, which is up in the Napa Valley. And that's actually where I met my husband.
Dr. Kinky?
Yeah.
Colt Farber, yes.
Let's see, about that time, my whole life was riding horses. So I've been U.S. and Canadian national champion, and that was my whole life was riding horses. And then,
so do you one of those people that go to the shows?
I used to
with the trailer on the back of your truck.
Yeah, I used to. Absolutely.
Those shows are very expensive, by the way.
They're extremely expensive, and you know what? It's just as expensive to go and lose as it is to go and win.
It's probably more expensive.
So you better make sure you go and win.
Exactly.
I actually grew up with horses, and my dad always said that owning horses is the best way to turn cold cash into warm manure.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah. So I was sitting on the back of a horse. I think it was at 98 Nationals, and I thought, hey, I've pretty much done what I want to do, and I think I'll go to dental school. And so I was a business major.
Did you have a dental desire?
I was really interested in it. You know, okay. I was thinking about what I wanted to do. At the time, I was a business major. Accounting wasn't really doing it for me. And so I thought, what else can I do? And I love helping people. I love the medical field. My dad's a neurosurgeon, so I was always in the medical field. And I thought, you know, wow, you can be so artistic with it. Mm-hmm. And you have that ability
to completely
change someone's mind or face and smile and mindset, you know, really. And so, yeah, I thought, I think I'm going to go to dental school. So I just added, you know, all the sciences on. And then I went down to Loma Linda University for dental school.
And then my question was, why radiology?
Okay, so I got out.
I'm still not understanding why anybody wants to do that.
I got out, and I knew I wanted to specialize, but I didn't know what in. I thought it was going to be pediatrics until I had my first pediatric rotation.
Yeah. That might be worse than radiology, quite
all
frankly.
Props to peds, I have to say. That is a gift that I just don't have. And so, you know, I got out, and I thought, well, I'll just do general dentistry, and I'll see if there's something that really excites me. And so I did general dentistry for about 6 years, and I got to play with some of the early CEREC units. And then, of course, Comeme CT was really becoming mainstream. Mm-hmm. And I love the diagnostic sciences. For me, putting the puzzle pieces together is what excites me the most. And with Comeme CT, it was just phenomenal. I mean, the things that you could see. I mean, you're looking inside a person.
You virtually see it, like a flip-top head, right?
Exactly. It was just so exciting.
It's Superman, X-ray vision.
And I really wanted to know, what am I looking at? I wanted to know more about it. And so I thought maybe...
Were you exposed to 3D in dental school?
No, not dental school.
Okay, so this is a private practice.
It's private practice, yeah.
Okay.
So it just really excited me. I think that just looking through it and wanting to know more, you know, I think that's the thing, is the excitement going through and saying, oh my goodness, you know, I can see all these things, but I don't quite know what they are. And I just had this desire to know more about it. And so I started looking at the various programs. I actually went up to Toronto for mm-hmm. about a week. One of the guys that wrote the book, the main book that's used for dental students, there's Dr. White, who's at UCLA. Mm-hmm. There's Dr. Farrow that was up in Toronto, and he's amazing. And after being with him for about a week, it was just so exciting and so cool to see how he'd go through and interpret everything. I thought, this is what I want to do. So I started.
What if 3D didn't exist? Would you have wanted to be a radiologist?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family, T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
You know, that's a funny question. I think that knowing what I know now, I think I would have gone through the medical route to be a radiologist.
Okay, medical radiologist, because then you have real CTs, MRIs, you have all that stuff.
So, and we have that with dentistry as well. So, you know, I mean, we sit in on some of the tumor boards, we see the MRIs for temporomandibular joints and that sort of stuff as well. But you're right, if we didn't have 3D, we would not have the opportunities that we have right now. Okay. And I think that where I'm at now, I love everything to do with radiology. And I would have probably gone back
to medical school. You have to go back to medical school at that point.
You have to go to medical school.
Right. That's a long fellowship. Or whatever.
How long is radiology residency?
It's 3 years.
3 years.
Yeah.
But
so
you did more than that.
I did. Yeah. So I did the 3 years, and it was just so cool. It's just such an enormous, changing, exciting field right now that I didn't feel like I was done. And so I signed up for a PhD, and it was a joint venture between UNC and King's College London, all in diagnostic imaging. My specific research was all in the craniofacial region, so it was more emphasized in the craniofacial region. And so I just finished the PhD last year. That was four and a half years.
So you're smart. So that's the valedictorian part of it.
But, you know,
I don't know if it's smart or if it's a mental disease or I have to keep going.
I would have to get my wife on air for that.
Yeah,
okay.
Here's my part of it, though, is that you have kids.
Yeah.
You had kids.
Yeah.
And your husband and your whole family moved to North Carolina.
Yeah.
Like, away from family and all that. Like, yeah. I think it's really cool how supportive he was.
Right? Oh, absolutely.
I look at those aspects.
Yeah. Well, and he's a civil engineer. And, you know, he was moving up the ladder. But he was willing because he knew how excited I was about it. And he said, okay, let's go. And so we packed up.
Well, you look mean, too, to be quite honest with you. He's probably a little afraid of you.
No. That was believable.
No, let me tell you, as much as you're laughing, that shit is real, okay? Let me tell you right now, okay? I just sat up in my chair.
Yeah.
And
that was good.
Okay, so, all right.
We picked up and we moved, and it was one of the most amazing family adventures we've ever been on.
How'd you get into speaking?
That was through Dr. Tyndall.
Mm-hmm. He's an
unbelievable.
He's an interesting kind of cool, actually, right? I mean, he's that
radiologist kind of cool.
No, yeah, exactly.
I would say all radiologists are kind of cool.
Right. Well, I've met some that are not, and I know you know some that are not too. Okay, but he is.
He's genuine.
Oh my God, he is amazing. Such a good mentor. Person, and it's not just his wife is nice. His wife might be nicer than him.
The whole family.
And he is such he is a professor at heart.
Absolutely.
And absolutely. Yeah, he's fantastic.
I just was so fortunate that he ended up being my mentor, mm-hmm. and it really made such an enormous difference in my entire life. You know, and so he introduced me into the speaking. I think that there were so many speaking engagements.
3D imaging was just booming.
Just barely. Just completely booming. And so he couldn't keep up with all of the lectures. So he said, well, I need to train some people in. And I think he looked at who he had and picked the people that loved to lecture, loved to teach. And then
also excited about radiology too, right?
No,
because what you don't want to do is you don't want to send the dry person out there right. to someone like me, because then I'm like, dude, I don't want to do this in my practice, you know? But I want to take a step back, okay?
Yeah.
So what I just heard from you was a concept that I'm trying to get dentists to understand, is that you need to learn to replace yourself. Okay,
yeah.
So what happened, what Professor Dr. Tyndall was experiencing was, hey, I've got too much on my plate and too much opportunity, and instead of having this scarcity mentality where he says, I'm going to keep it all for myself,
right.
he said, I need to learn to replace myself and allow others to grow and thrive.
Yeah.
And he said, I'll do that.
Yeah.
And he put it out there. He didn't say, you're doing it. He put it out there, and those that gravitated to it went to it.
Yeah.
And I think as dental practice owners, we can all learn from that.
Oh, absolutely.
To allow people around us to thrive and allow them to grow. It's no different than what's happened for you.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's the difference between having that open mindset versus kind of a closed mindset. If you have that open mindset and you're open to helping others, to innovating, to networking, that collaboration, instead of trying to keep it all yourself,
right.
your sphere of influence actually goes much further, and you're able to help so many other people, but you're also able to grow more yourself.
Right.
You know, so I think that being that open to all of that collaboration and being willing to say, okay, I can train somebody up underneath of me, I can mentor them, I can help them, and once they fly, you know, it helps you as well.
Absolutely.
As a resident, are you required to teach or
There is some. I think that what was nice about our UNC program is you could say, hey, I really love this aspect, and they would give you more time in that area. So if I love to read cases or if I love to teach or whatever else, they will help make sure you have the time mm-hmm. to do that. And that's what was really amazing about that program, is that all of the people that are there are very open-minded. They're open to trying new things. If a resident says, hey, I really want to learn more about MRI, you know, this is what I want to do. Okay, we're going to open those doors for you and help you to do that. And it really helps the whole program grow overall.
All right, I got two more topics I want to talk about. Yeah, okay. No, you're not. You're not, don't sorry. Nothing. You're, okay. Hey. I have two topics I want to talk about. One, I want to get into what do radiologists do? Is it all academic based? What is private practice? Because when I say private practice, I'm thinking drill fill,
yeah.
you know, doing things like that. So I want to talk about that briefly. And then what I really want to get into is a real core focus on 3D imaging, because I want to help answer some myths,
yeah.
Some things that dentists are struggling with. In terms of using it. So let's talk about what does a radiologist do once you're finally done with radiology PhD program, training, all of those things, okay?
Yeah.
Is it just an academic life?
No, it's not. I think that originally, way back when, it was. But with CBCT, and it's still such a hugely growing market, I think
yeah.
only about 20% of dentists at this point actually have
not
3D.
Even.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even...
If you talk about 3D imaging, we're
yeah.
probably in the 8 to 10% ballpark.
So it's still pretty small, but it's really growing.
Yeah.
And as we come out, there's more opportunities for us than there ever were before. And so, you know, some people go into academics, but that's obviously not what everybody wants to do. Radiology, you know, even medical radiology, the people go into it because the lifestyle is phenomenal. So
you could be in Greece and work, couldn't you?
You could, exactly.
We were at breakfast, we were joking about being at the beach and working.
I'm not kidding. Or you could be pajama radiologist, you know? Be like Hugh Hefner in your fancy pajamas.
God rest his soul, but
So private practice.
I have to ask you a question now. What made you think of Hugh Hefner?
Is the pajamas.
I know.
Was he ever outside a room?
I mean, I never saw him in those settings, personally. But anyway, I digress. Yeah, yeah. Typical male mind.
So academics was the traditional model before. Now it's private practice. So you can come out.
And what does private practice mean?
For us, it is web-based. Okay. And doctors will send their CBCTs to us for us to read or review.
Right.
And
so you'll do the readings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Absolutely. And
what about these imaging centers? Is that part of your guys' scope, or is that getting less and less?
It can be. We had maybe about 10, 15 years ago, that was a big focus, was imaging centers. Okay. But in many states, those imaging centers can be owned by anybody.
Okay.
And so you see these companies come in and set up a whole bunch of imaging centers, and it's not just specific to oral maxillofacial radiology.
Okay.
So I think that those that have imaging centers are finding it a little bit more difficult. Where if you are just, web-based, your overhead is extremely minimal. And so it's
IT.
It's just IT. So it's a great working model.
So I've been practicing since 1999. My first exposure to radiologists was Dexter.
Yeah.
Okay, in dental school, okay. And then running the 18 films through that, and having my radiologist in dental school tell me you missed a cavity. I'm like, oh my God, what kind of life is this?
I know.
And then my second exposure to radiology was second exposure was imaging centers.
Yeah.
When cone beam was significantly, it's expensive now, but we're talking about significantly expensive, and but I think that model is almost dead now.
I think so, too. And the thing is, in medicine, that's still a big model because those machines are $1 and $2 million.
Sure.
But in dentistry, that's not the case. The machines are very affordable. It's much more convenient for a dentist to have that machine.
It's sad. We're talking about $80,000, $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 as affordable.
Yeah.
But it is.
Yeah.
But it is.
But, compared to the medical machines, it's really
plus
affordable.
Plus the MRI magnets, the lease programs, the maintenance programs, all of those. Absolutely. Okay. All right. So. Where are you at right now, and where are you going to be in the next 2 to 3, 4 months?
I'm going to be working in private practice.
Okay.
And I was academics for about 15 years, and
I was in academics for a long time too. It was called middle school, high school.
The thing is that the lifestyle can be really nice, and the private practice is wonderful because you're getting to help. Some amazing dentists that are out there. And people that are purchasing these machines are very excited about them. And so having the opportunity to help them and help them to be able to better understand what they're looking at is very exciting.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Perfect segue. Thank you.
Welcome.
Aaron, I'm going to use you as an example here, okay? So you've had 3D imaging for what, a year and a half now?
Yes.
Okay. Was the liability concern and the radiation concern a decision process for you when you that held you back for maybe a year or two before you really moved into it? Because I hear that all the time.
No, it was the talking my partner into the financial investment.
Okay, so I won't use you as an example then. Okay, we'll cut that out.
Because I knew radiation was really minimal.
All right, so Heidi, let's talk about this. Okay, the two most common things that I hear when I talk to people about 3D imaging: number one is radiation.
Right.
Number two is liability. Talk to me about that.
So one of the things with radiation is people forget that we are receiving radiation every day just walking around being alive. So we get about 8.5 microsieverts being alive. So when we're looking at our individual machines, they can vary depending on the machine from about 80 microsieverts up to maybe 160 for some of the machines. Now some are much greater,
right?
But I would say on average that's about where
in the dental world
exactly. So you're talking about maybe 12 to 20 days of being alive on the earth, and so you can compare that with say medical CT, and medical CT is the equivalent of about 250 days of being alive on the earth.
So they're about 1,000 microsieverts.
About
1,000.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's put it into perspective that dentists understand.
Right.
What is a full mouth series with my sensor?
So, and it depends what sensor you have. Now,
does it really? I mean, on average, let's
well,
say.
Well, I'm saying, you know, digital versus.
No, let's go digital.
So we're going
80%,
digital.
By the way, 80% of offices today are digital.
I would hope
because
so.
They have a sensor
I
in their office.
I would hope so, yeah.
But,
you know, we do get those older dentists that are still film-based that say, how can you take a CT? But those old film-based were 388 microceivers.
Okay, so you're talking about, more. So like, for example, I have a Sirona Orthofos, Dentsply Sirona Orthofos SLAI. So I'm probably in the 90 to 100 microsievert range.
It's going to be about 150.
Okay, 150 yeah, microsievert. 150. So I'm doing on the low dose mode. So
okay.
Actually, I'm
oh,
in the 20.
Low, mi- on the low
I'm
dose,
in the 20.
More.
Yeah, I'm probably in the 20 microsievert
yeah,
range.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, let's come back. So I have a Dentsply Sirona Orthofos SLAI, mm-hmm. and it's probably in the 120, 150 microsievert yeah. range. And you're saying a film, full mouth series, 17, 18 films,
right.
is double?
Is li- double.
More than double.
More than double. Yeah,
more than double.
388 microsieverts.
Okay, now what about a, like, what about when I use my, I don't use my Schick for full mouth series, but
right.
let's say I did.
Yeah, so if you were to use a direct digital, it's about 85.
So about double that of a full mouth series with direct, like, direct digital.
A little bit more, yeah. I mean, if you're, depending on what you do, yeah.
Okay, and then, so in theory, if I'm taking four, like in my office, we take 7 intraoral x-rays,
okay.
A regular definition 3D image as our inpatient x-ray series, compared that to most offices that are doing cataracts plus an intraoral direct digital sensor. So I'm not giving them that much more radiation.
No, you're giving them maybe a couple of days more radiation. But in comparison, you're receiving so much more information for that patient, and your ability to treat them more accurately and correctly.
But then that brings in a liability issue.
It does.
So I shouldn't say liability issue. That brings in a liability concern. So let's address that.
Yes.
So what is my liability?
So your liability is that you need to look at the scan.
What about the brain? What about the vertebrae? What about
well,
all
you
these
can't
things?
Really, you can't see in the soft tissue, so you can't see the brain. You know, if you were to see something incorrect as you're going through your scan and say, hey, I don't know what that is, your liability is to send it on.
Okay.
So you say, hey, I see something, it doesn't look right, and I don't know what it is. Just refer that. And
when,
once it
you when you say refer, do you refer for a reading? Do you refer to a specialist? Do you refer to an ENT? Are all those things acceptable?
They are. I would say that if you were to send to radiologists, we can help direct you as far as where it needs to go.
Okay.
And or maybe it's something completely normal that you're looking at. You don't need to send it anywhere.
Okay.
So, you know, a lot of times people say, well, like you're saying, how do I know? What if I miss it?
Yeah.
Well, a real easy rule of thumb is just to compare things bilaterally. Look at symmetry. Mm-hmm. If one side looks unusual compared to another, there might be something going on.
But my whole head is a little
very asymmetrical.
Well, there's always outliers out there.
Okay, so all right, so that what are the other how can we address these concerns that dentists have about liabilities and all these things of 3D imaging?
Well, I would say that one of the things is with any technology is you do need to get further education. And one of the nice things about some of the companies is that they'll provide free education. I mean, it comes included in the
yeah,
price.
I was going to say, there's no such thing as free.
Please take advantage
yeah.
of it, you know?
I
but
do
we
that.
Hear people
yeah.
that don't take advantage of that, but they've already paid for it.
Right.
And you really should. You owe it to yourself.
I think it should be standard of care to take the radiology portion.
Yeah, I took a two-day training. The first day was with Dr. Tyndall, going through pathology, which I was a total pathology geek. And the second day was implant planning and nerve mapping, things like that. So really utilizing to its fullest capability.
What percentage of my scans does every scan have to be read by a radiologist?
It does not. The liability for you is that every scan must be looked at.
That's what I call reviewing. So
reviewing.
What I say is the general dentist, in our case, most of my listeners are general dentists, the dentist taking the image
yeah.
their obligation is to review.
Right.
Okay, because I don't like to use the word read, because that's technically what you do.
Right.
And that's what a board-certified maxillofacial radiologist does, is they read the scans. We review the scans. We look for symmetry. We look for odd things. We document those odd things. And then when appropriate, we refer. Whether that's referring to my oral surgeon, referring to my endodontist, referring to a radiologist.
Right.
So that's standard.
That's standard. Yeah, absolutely. The people that have gotten themselves in trouble never looked. Now, the only thing that, where there is a definite liability, and we've had some of the lawyers from liability insurances come and talk to us at our academy meetings, is that if you are placing implants and you don't have 3D and something goes wrong, they say that that individual is not defendable.
Huh.
And that's, you know, that's
now, these are the malpractice carriers.
These are the malpractice carriers.
Insurance.
Yeah.
So in other words, what they're saying is, it's, so I want to care, I want to be honest and open, okay?
Yeah.
It is not standard of care to have 3D imaging for implant placement. But what is happening is, if you do have a mishap during implant placement and you did not use 3D imaging, the malpractice carrier is going to consider writing the check.
Exactly. They say it's not defendable.
They cannot
in court defend that.
But I want to be clear. I don't, we're not saying standard of care.
And that really surprised
me. It's my standard
me.
Of care, by the way.
Right. Well, that really surprised me because we didn't realize that it was moving so quickly towards that being perhaps a standard of care. And really, standard of care is what the people in your area are doing. So
I want to know what an academy meeting for the radiologist is like.
What else would you like to tell our listeners about 3D imaging?
I would say if they haven't made the leap, it is one of, bar none, best investments you'll ever
it's
make.
It's kind of like, how did I ever do it without
it? How did I ever do it without it? And we see the cases where things have gone wrong.
What are you seeing diagnostically on 3D that you're not seeing on 2D these days?
Well, we see quite a lot. One just recently we saw was just an example, but we see these day in and day out. Is it looked like a periapical lesion between teeth number 7 and 8.
Okay.
Endodontist sent it to us. He's like, I'm not quite sure if it's, you know, tooth number 7 or tooth number 8. We look at it. Patient has a cleft palate. That is being superimposed over the 7-8 region. So,
but she knew she had it.
She never knew. She was 64 years old. Never knew.
So she doesn't have an external cleft.
Right.
Okay.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I mean, that saved her from getting root canals. Exactly. We see this stuff just day in and day out, and when we see things that go wrong, and we do have a real wide no judgment zone. I mean, we've all been there. I've been there as a general practice person. I've been there, but
well, you were telling us a story last night about a guy who did his due diligence.
Yeah,
the people told him wrong, and he placed implants in a tumor essentially.
Well, it was a fibrosis lesion. Yeah, so
it looks so dense, it looks like bone.
Well, and he'd sent it out to medical radiology, and they're not aware of what goes on in the maxillofacial region. They told him it was just bone scars. And here he has fluorosis dysplasia, which has a high likelihood of osteomyelitis, infection, and so forth. And so, you know, implants were placed. But he did all his due diligence. I would say, though, on the average, you know, again, we do have that wide no judgment zone, but the stuff that I see, I just think, man, if you had 3D, those mistakes wouldn't have been made. And it would have helped, you know, yourself as well as your patients.
And then what is your company's name?
Dental Radiology Diagnostics.
That's awesome.
DRD.
DRD, not DMD, DRD. So what do you guys, explain it to me. How does it work? So me or Aaron, we get a patient comes in, we recognize something we don't like, I send it to you for a reading service?
Exactly.
How does that work?
It's all online, so you would go to our website and make an account, and then you'll export out your DICOM. We do need the DICOM, not the viewer.
Okay, of course.
You know, exactly, yeah. And so then you can go ahead, there's a referral slip online, you can tell me about your patient, what you're concerned about, and then you can upload that DICOM to our website.
How long does it take to get a report back?
About 2 to 3 days.
Okay. A couple of side notes there. Mm-hmm. What is the rough?
The weather's good for.
If the weather, if it's beach time, it might be 4 days. So, what is the typical fee?
Typical fee is $100.
$100. That's
and
all in.
It's all in. So for our company, you know, we don't charge additional little things. You know, like some companies will say, oh well, flat fee is like $75, but if you want temporomandibular joints looked at, it's going to be like $200 or $300. We're not that way. We're all inclusive.
$100 your entire volume.
$100 We're going to look at
and
it.
And you may ask for more information.
We might, exactly.
Like, I want the PA.
Yes. Yeah. If we're trying to figure out what they're looking at. But, you know, if it looks like the airway is small, we'll go ahead and segment out the airway and tell them that temporomandibular joints look like there's an issue. We'll go ahead and take all the images for that.
And your arrangement is with the dentist sending the scan, not the patient, correct?
It exactly is with the dentist. That's our relationship is with the dentist. The dentist relationship is with the patient.
And how they want to handle that.
Exactly.
Heidi, you're awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And you have beautiful eyes. What color is that?
Blue.
Are they real?
Yeah.
That's your real color.
That's my real eyes.
I got to be honest. I just keep staring at
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
Every time I see you, I stare at them.
They just, you don't look at me in the eyes.
No, I don't. For different reasons. But that's awesome, Heidi. I can see why you love radiology. And if all radiologists were like you, maybe we would love radiology
yeah.
more.
Oh, yeah, you should. You should. You can't have more fun than this.
So if you are interested in learning more about Heidi's radiology reading services, contact Digital Radiology.
Dental Radiology Diagnostics.
Dental Radiology Diagnostics, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, come to any Dental by Sirona event.
Absolutely.
Most likely you'll be speaking there. Number three, come to Dents by Sirona World. You'll be there as
Absolutely,
well.
Absolutely, yeah.
Number four, when you buy your combing machine from Dents by Sirona, one of your training days will be with the board-certified radiologist.
Yes.
There's a good chance that that person will be Heidi, and she will make it fun
yep.
to learn about radiology.
Thank
that day.
You. And thank you guys for having
yeah.
me. This was a lot of fun.
I told you it was easy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal. Remember to keep striving for excellence, and we'll catch you on the next episode.